Continuing our study on the life and ministry of the prophet Elisha, we come to an account that magnifies the providential provisions of the God of Elisha. And the account before us highlights the wonderful truth that God is in control of everything and that God faithfully provides for the needs of His children. Those are the two main truths that we are going to look at tonight. That God is in control of everything, every detail of life, every circumstance that comes our way. And as God's children, this sovereign God has a way of providing for the needs of His people. And this biblical truth shatters the false deistic opinion that God created everything and then stepped back from His creation, leaving His creation to figure things out on its own, or letting creation run its own course without God's intervention. And this biblical truth, the providential provisions of God, the biblical truth of God's sovereignty over all things, also shatters the incorrect theory that everything in life is the outcome of chance or of luck. And this view is the view that is held very tightly by the world. They think that things happen by chance or by luck. But this is not true. When we turn our hearts and minds to the Word of God, we see that there is no such thing as chance. God is ruling and reigning over all, and God is working all things out, Romans 8:28, for the believer's good and God's glory. And as we will see in this passage, as we see in every account of the Bible, God is reigning. He's in control of everything, and He provides for the needs of His people. So let me read this text, 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, and then give you four main points regarding God's providential provisions. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse number 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household, and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. The first thing we see in this passage regarding God's provision is who He provides for. We open this passage noting that God provides for those who honor and obey Him. And this is our first main point tonight. God provides for those who honor and obey Him. Verse number 1, Then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. Now we are introduced once again to this unnamed woman that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37. Let me remind you of this woman for just a few moments. This was a woman who took great delight in working out her salvation, or in other words, doing good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. This woman was one who, when she saw Elisha traveling to preach the word and minister the gospel, she would invite him into her house and set bread before him. She was very hospitable. And seeing Elisha going back and forth, she desired to do more. This is all in 2 Kings chapter 4. And so this woman goes to her husband and has the great idea to make a special room in their house for the prophet to stay at so that he might have a place to eat and to rest and to study. And this woman received permission from her husband to do so, and this became a great blessing to Elisha. And the account continues in 2 Kings chapter 4, where Elisha then sends his servant Gehazi to ask the woman how her kindness can be repaid. This woman, being very humble, a very God-fearing woman, responds in so many words that she's okay, she's content, and she's not expecting anything in return for her kindness. And still desiring to do something, Elisha notices that this woman is childless and that her husband is old. And so Elisha promises that she will one day give birth to a son. The story continues that when the child was grown, this son, this small boy, goes out into the fields to work with his father, and he complains of his head hurting. And they then send him back to home, back to the mom. They carried him from the field to his mother, and this small boy sits on the knees of his mother until he dies. His mother immediately takes her dead son to the bed of Elisha. And immediately this woman seeks out the prophet to come and heal her son, whom Elisha has promised. And when Elisha was come to the house, he went into the room where the boy was. He shuts the door. He prays unto God, and the child miraculously comes to life. You remember Elisha spreads his body over the body of the young child, and the child revives and sneezes several times. The same woman is now warned in our text to flee from her home because the Lord has called for a great famine that will last 7 years. Now, notice here in our text, once again, as we've been seeing in the life of Elijah and Elisha, we see the disobedience of the nation of Israel. Famine is being sent from God because the people continue to sin against God. This is a way of waking up the children of Israel. This is God's judgment, God's justice upon the land for their disobedience. We've looked at it several times in the law. God promising through the prophet Moses, through Moses' words and the law and the Pentateuch, that if they obey God, God will provide for them. But if they disobey God, there will be severe drought, severe famine. One author says, when men refuse to humble themselves beneath the mighty hand of God, He lays His rod more heavily upon them. That's what God is doing here. He's going to send a famine to judge the children of Israel for chasing after idols and not obeying His word. Now, it's interesting to note the contrast between the nation of Israel and this one woman. Israel is going to suffer greatly because of their disobedience toward the Lord, but this woman is going to be provided for because of her obedience. And we learn this truth, that God honors those who honor Him. And what is God doing? Well, God saw her kindness way back in 2 Kings chapter 4, seeking to take care of the messenger of God. And she's doing it as unto the Lord. And God saw that. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so God is rewarding her. Not because of her, but because she's been faithful to the Word. And the Word promises blessing to those who are faithful. As we read in Proverbs, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. And this is all over the Scriptures. Let me give you a few references in Psalm 34, 9 and 10. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want, no lack to them that fear Him. And I want you to notice who God provides for. There's no lack to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 37, 25. David says, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Proverbs 10, verse 3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but He casteth away the substance of the wicked. Proverbs 13, 25. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. It's no mistake that God places emphasis on those who do right, those who are walking in a God-fearing way, those who are righteous, those who are obedient, those who are fearing the Lord. And yes, we do acknowledge that God provides for all men, right? Jesus said He allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. We call this God's common grace. And God's common grace is tasted by all men. And though Pharaoh, though Nero, and though Hitler were wicked men, though they refused to acknowledge the goodness of God, God was still their provider. God gave them life. God gave them shelter and food and family, hoping that the goodness of God would lead them to repentance. But you know Romans chapter 1, men suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But God is the provider of all. But we see in our text that He is a special provider. He is a father providing for His children to those who do right. God provides for those who honor and obey Him. So we see what Jesus is teaching in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. This woman gave sacrificially of her food, gave sacrificially of her own home to the prophet Elisha, and now God is taking care of this woman, and Elisha desires that this woman be taken care of in a time of great need. The same principle is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, we don't give to get, all right? The motive is not, well, I need to give all this because then God will make me a millionaire. That's the prosperity gospel, right? No, we give out of love for God. We give out of obedience to His Word. And God does tell us when we give, He will take care of us. He has never, never let those who obey Him suffer and starve. And like David said there, he's never seen a time where the righteous have been forsaken or the righteous seeds begging bread. No, God is the good shepherd. And with David, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or I shall not lack. And this principle is true in every area of life. God provides spiritual wisdom for who? For those who honor and obey Him. God provides His guidance for who? For those who honor and obey Him. God provides physical strength to those who desire to serve and honor Him. God provides financially to those who honor Him. And the opposite is true as well. God withholds His wisdom. God withholds His guidance. God withholds His provision to those who walk contrary to His word and will. Don't we see that throughout Scripture? God giving the people up unto their own heart's lust, withholding His blessing, withholding His provision, withholding His protection. Just search the nation of Israel and their history. Okay, you want a king? Go ahead. All right, you want to pursue that battle that I told you not to? Go ahead. In Proverbs chapter 1, sometimes we eat the fruit of our own ways. What we see here in this text specifically, that God provides for those who honor Him. He is providing for this woman whose ways please the Lord. And this should encourage us then to take heed of our ways before God. It should encourage us to stay true and faithful because God has promised to provide for our needs. And then the second point, verse number 2. God provides through various means. Verse 2, and the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Now note the irony here. Did you catch it? Where is she going? She's going to the land of the Philistines for 7 years. Of all places, she finds a temporary residence, not in the territory of Judah, but among the enemies of Israel. And God provides for the needs of this woman, not among His chosen people, but among the world. One author notes, it is sad, yet true, that a Christian will often receive kinder treatment at the hands of strangers than from those who profess to be the people of God. And nevertheless, God provides for her among the foreigners. Isaiah 55, 8, 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God provides through various means. Remember how God provided for Elijah near the brook. Dirty, stinking ravens, and yet He provided. God provided for the Israelites in the past through manna, quail being sent from the coasts. God provided for Joseph through various means. God provided for Daniel and his three friends through various means. And God provides for His children through various means. I want you to notice here also her faith through this trial. This is another great trial that she's facing. She has to leave the comforts of her home and move to the enemy territory, to the land of the Philistines. Now, I know sometimes we read this and we just kind of pass over, oh yeah, that's nice, or whoa, 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 but catch the impact. Put yourself in her position, all right? God tells you to move to Iraq or Iran or North Korea for 7 years. That's what it's like. Whoa, whoa, time out, Lord. Wait a second here. Think about all that she's going through. But Lord, have you made a mistake? Lord, do you know what you're doing? But see the text. There's no hint of murmuring or complaining regarding the change of circumstances. There's no hint of questioning or resisting Elisha's warning. Simple childlike obedience. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. She's trusting in the goodness of Elisha, and more so, the goodness of God. God's prophet's not going to stir me the wrong way, and God is not going to stir me the wrong way. There's a reason, there's a purpose for this, and she places her full confidence in what God is doing. We find a childlike obedience and strong faith in the Lord. Her attitude was, God knows best. He has provided for me and protected me in the past, and I will trust that he will provide for me and protect me now and in the future. It's just a wonderful testimony that we find yet again in this woman. God provides through various means. Are the Philistines going to hurt me when I come into the land? What's going to happen to my home when I leave the land? What is my son and my servants going to think when we head to the land of the Philistines? But she trusts the Lord, and she's trusting God to provide through various means. And then I want you to see in verses 3 through 6, our third point, God provides through our times of losses. Verses 3 through 6. After spending 7 years in the land of the Philistines due to the famine, this woman then returns to her home only to find that this home is not hers anymore. Okay, again, see the crescendo of the trial. Famine's coming. God's gracious to give her the heads up. She goes to a foreign land. She's living there waiting and waiting to return. The joyful day comes, looking at the clock. Boom, 7 years have passed. Time to go back. Can't wait to get back to my home, back to what was normal before. It doesn't tell us exactly what it was that she knew. Maybe there was a sign on the front door. Maybe there were other people living in her house. It doesn't say, but she comes back to great disappointment. We're not given the details of whether her property was unlawfully seized by someone or taken by the king during her long time of absence, but we find this woman immediately appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And again, we note her faith. She does not sit around pouting. She does not get angry at God for what has happened. She perseveres and does everything in her power to get what rightly belonged to her. This woman's been through the ups and downs of life. She was without, now again, trace it back. She was without a son, taking care of an older husband, 2 Kings chapter 4. She received a son, lost a son, received a son again. She was told to move from the comfort of her house. She lived among the Philistines. She comes back to find that it's not hers. Now, also again, note, there's nothing in this passage that speaks about her husband. And some authors conclude that maybe she's a widow here. And there is another trial. She has no man to go to the government and plead their cause. No, she has to do it. And she is the overseer of her son. Well, we know the son is there. We read it in verse number 5 as they approach the king. Her son, so she's providing for her son. And she knows trial. Yet through it all, she is running the Christian race with patience or with perseverance. She is not allowing bad circumstances to push her off the straight and narrow path. What a testimony. We need the backbone of this woman. If anyone had excuses to give to bad circumstances, if anyone had excuses to give up, surely she had plenty of reasons. But she did not. She was like Job in her response to God. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of God. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Persevering through the storms. Now also note in her example the need to appeal to authority if need be in our times of losses. Here's a great practical lesson that deals with our everyday life. We have a responsibility as Christians to appeal to the authorities in our life when we feel there has been injustice. Don't we see that here? This woman comes to her land. It's not hers anymore. And what does she do? She goes to the king. She cries unto the king for her house and for her land. This woman did not just pray. She prayed and went. Like we saw a few Sundays ago. Pray as you go. That's what she's doing. She's praying and she's going. This woman was not passive. She was active. And if we are troubled about some injustice, some wrongdoing, whether it be in the workplace, with an employer, at school, with a teacher, in a relationship with parents, in our responsibility, It is important that we let others know, that we do everything in our power to make sure wrong is not accepted. Listen to one other author here. He notes, believers may, on important occasions, avail themselves of their privileges as members of the community, provided they are not actuated by covetousness or resentment, do not manifest a contentious spirit, and make no appeal in a doubtful or suspicious cause. And rulers should award justice without respect of persons and compel the injurious to restitution. So in other words, the author notes that we have every right to go to those who've done us wrong so as we go in the right spirit. And so that we have all of our ducks in a row, that we know the truth, that we're not just assuming. All right? The teacher's given us an F, and we've done everything that he has told us to do, and we feel it's been unjust for some particular reason, we go to them. We speak. Another author said, had not this woman now appealed to the king for the restoration of her own property, she would have condoned a wrong and refused to uphold the principles of righteousness. So this brings it down to our level, doesn't it? Because we live in a world that is filled with wrong and injustice. And we have all been victims of injustice. So what should we do? Stay at home and just hope for the best? Stay at home and just pray? No. We pray, we trust in the Lord, but we also exercise the means. We go to people, letting them know, like this woman did. This was my home. This is my land. I bought it. It belonged to me. Now give it back to me. In the right spirit, of course. And we see in the passage that the king restores all that was hers, all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. God provides through our times of losses. Sometimes we become very depressed when we lose things. But God provides. And then fourth, notice, God provides providentially. This is so beautiful. Again, verses 3 through 6. God provides providentially. This is so amazing. Again, I can't stress, I can't emphasize this truth. It's on every page of Scripture. God is in control. God is involved in every detail of life. It came to pass when this woman approached the king. Notice there. All right, let me read this here. Verse 3. She went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Verse 4. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. Now, there's some speculation that perhaps this passage was before Gehazi's leprosy, because a king wouldn't have communication with a leper in such closeness like this. But again, there's some speculation there. We don't know. But that's not what I want you to see. Notice verse 5, and it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that, notice the next word, behold. The Spirit wants to place emphasis on this one thing. Behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, you know that story I was just telling you about, you know that woman and her son I was just telling you about, by chance, some circumstance, she's right here, this is the woman. And this is her son whom Elisha restored to life. Don't you see the providence of God here? The king asks about Elisha. What has Elisha done? Oh, let me tell you about this instance with this woman and her son. And here comes the woman and her son. You got to appreciate the humor here by the Spirit, by God, and emphasizing the truth that God providentially provides. This was no mistake. This was no chance. This was no accident. God is arranging the details so that her land might be restored unto her again. Amazing. This is God's sovereignty. Men meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so this woman walks in at the right time, not knowing it. God is directing her. And she pleads her case. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. And so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, "Restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now." And she's taken care of. This woman who persevered through hard times, God takes care of her. God takes care of all of His sheep. God takes care of all of His children. In conclusion, let me ask, can we say with David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack"? Are we constantly aware of God's faithful provisions in our life? Do we give thanks for God's daily provisions? Or have we come to the place where we've taken them for granted? Have we come to the place where we've seen ourselves as deserving? Well, God owes us something. Of course He will provide. No, this is all of grace. And this woman is continually tasting of the grace of God over and over and over. Look back at your life and see the times where you've been down in the valley and you've wondered and you've doubted. We're men of like passions, right? We fail even as the disciples fail, questioning and wondering and doubting. And Christ rebukes us in that valley. And, "O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And yet God provides and brings us back to the mountaintop, doesn't He? And then we look back at the mountaintop from the valley and we think, "How foolish was I? Why did I doubt God? He's provided for me all my life. Why am I doubting Him now?" But this is all the process of sanctification, isn't it? Nobody's arrived. We're growing to be more like Christ each and every day. If we're persevering by faith, we're growing stronger and stronger in faith. And one day we will walk in a perfect way with Christ Jesus our Lord in heaven. But until then, we're learning lessons. And we're tasting of His faithful provision. The truth that God is a faithful provider ought to lead us to several things. It ought to lead us to love Him more. It ought to lead us to praise Him more. And the psalmist speaks of this in Psalms, that we would praise God for His mercy, that we would praise God for His goodness. We would praise God for His faithfulness. This should also lead us to be encouraged. Maybe we're in a valley now. Maybe there are needs before us and we're not sure how everything is going to be provided for. We take these truths from 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, and we see, though we don't understand, maybe God has us in a strange land, in a strange circumstance now. But be sure, God will open the door. God will provide for our needs. Our God is the God who provides. Remember what God's name is. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And when we find ourselves doubting His provision, let us remember this portion of Scripture. Let us remember also the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6. If you will, turn here as we conclude. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6. One of the greatest sermons preached by the greatest preacher in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And this is what the woman did, Matthew 6:33. She was seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things were added unto her. God provided for the one who feared him, the one who honored him, the one who obeyed him. He did it in miraculous ways, and he did it providentially, and he provided even after a time of loss, but he proved himself as the faithful provider. And church family, this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we worship. He is our Father who loves and displays his love by providing. Would a father provide a son who asks for a fish? Would he provide a stone? No. He provides good things for his children. So let us trust that he will provide now and in the future the providential provisions of God. Let us pray.